This is
KUT.
KUT, Austin.
Stop. I used to get mad at my school. The teachers that taught me weren't cool. They're holding me down, turning me around, filling me up with your rules. I have to admit, it's getting better, a little better, all the time. Hello, and welcome to Higher Ed, KUT's podcast focusing on issues of higher education, lifelong learning, and exercising the brain. I'm Jennifer Staton with KUT 90.5, Austin's NPR station, talking as always with Dr. Ed Berger, president of Southwestern University in Georgetown, Texas. Hello, Ed.
Hello, Jennifer. It's always good to be with you. Thanks for having me back.
Well, yes, welcome to the KUT studios. It is great to have you here. We're going to be answering a question today. It actually came from a listener who sent an email with an idea about a topic that we might want to talk about in higher ed that I don't think we've talked about before, and it has to do with giving an education. And the ideas, not necessarily about giving to education, though that's kind of where the conversation started, but the idea just about philanthropy. You know, is that something that we should be teaching students, that we need to be teaching them? You know, and if it is, when do you introduce that sort of in the life of a student?
I think it's an interesting question. I think it's a little bit non-traditional in a way when you think about the three R's, you know,
sure.
Reading, writing, arithmetic. You don't have a P in there for philanthropy.
Right.
I mean, at Southwestern, we do have a student philanthropy association, a society, and that's a group that meets and thinks about, you know, how to help Southwestern and how to fundraise. And we have a very high percentage of students before they graduate actually make their very first gift to Southwestern before they leave the campus, which is just shows you that they appreciate the value of the education and all the scholarship money they got and financial aid and so forth, and they're beginning to start to give back. But I think that more broadly, the question really is, and this I believe should be part of one's formal education, which is, you know, who are you? And so with intentionality, you have to decide what you stand for and what you value and what your ethics are and what your, you know, the morals are. And I think that has to be done. I can't tell you how to do it. Everyone, I think, is different. It's not an intellectual thing. It's not a spiritual thing necessarily. It's not a thing with the heart or the mind. It could be a combination. Everyone will come to these large questions, which never get completely answered in their own way. But I think that with intentionality, students and adults, for that matter, should constantly be thinking about who they are and how they fit in to our society, our world, and our lives.
And when in a student's time in formal education do you think it makes sense to start introducing that as a concept? Is there an age that's too young to do that?
Last night, it's funny you asked this question, I was having dinner at Southwestern University in the Commons, and I was having dinner with two students, both of whom are graduating their religion majors. And one of them, whose name is Eleanor, she was telling a story about how she wants to go into philanthropy. So she actually wants to go and become a fundraiser. So this is very interesting that you bring this up.
Yeah.
And it's like, wow, so she's a religion major and she wants to fundraise for
that's
nonprofit.
That's an interesting connection.
Really interesting. She's a neat person. So she was sharing a story that when she was really small, she would get an allowance. And it took a while to actually start receiving the allowance because the mother wanted to find some kind of piggy bank or structure that would have three separate containers. One was for the container to kind of save stuff up that she could then spend for candy, whatever she wanted to. One that was for long-term savings, and that one that was to give back and for philanthropy. And so she was then wondering, I wonder if that's why now that I've experienced student philanthropy at Southwestern and actually worked in our university relations office as an intern, that she has that calling. So I think you can start this as early as you want because I think it really is about what do you value? And again, I don't think there's a right or wrong answer, but I think that with intentionality, people need to be faced with these basic questions of what you believe and what you value and what's important to you.
Well, and it seems like education and higher education is precisely the place that makes sense for that to happen. Questions to be posed, if they haven't, such as in this case, in Eleanor's case, maybe that's been a topic of discussion in her family for a while. But for those who haven't, it seems like education is a place where those questions can be asked.
But not easy, because it's not like a math curriculum where there is a curriculum to follow. Here, again, in my mind, I'm just speaking on my own reflections, there is not one canned answer. And so how do you create that space intellectually to have a multiplicity of responses and yet still have a cohesive experience? It is a challenge, but I think you're absolutely right. It needs to be part of one's formal education.
So speaking of challenges, we've got a puzzler on the table.
Oh, I get you. Yes.
I found last week's pretty challenging, I have to say.
Let me remind our listeners. The question was, I reminded everyone that a digit is something that's 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. There are 10 digits from 0 to 9. And you can put those digits together to form counting numbers like 17, 18, 27, and so forth. And the question is, if you look at all the counting numbers from 1 to 1,000, the question is, what digit appears with the least frequency from 1 to 1,000? And the bonus was what appears with the greatest frequency, but that's a little bit trickier.
Well, that's interesting. The idea for the most one came to mind more quickly than the least one, which means it's probably not correct.
Okay, so let's hear it.
Well, I thought the most frequent would be a 0.
The most frequent, and then
yes.
What would be the least frequent?
Well, I'm still working on
I see. Well, you're half correct. 0 is the least frequent.
Oh, really?
Well, and here's how I was hoping
that's
some people...
That's interesting.
Well, because, for example, there are numbers like 222,
right.
But there's never 000.
That's right. And I was thinking, I sort of gravitated to kind of the easy numbers like 400, 500, 600, 1,000. I'm like, oh, there are millions of zeros there.
Exactly. So. There are a lot of zeros embedded, but you don't have those repetitions.
Right,
like,
those 999, 777.
Correct.
Got it. So 0 actually comes in last.
It turns out that the number, in case anyone's wondering, the number of zeros that appear as a digit in all the numbers from 1 to 1,000 is 192. There are 192 occurrences of the digit 0 in all of those numbers together.
But any digit like 3 has more.
Any digit such as 3 has more. That's exactly right. And in fact, all the other digits have the same number except for the other one, which has the most.
Which must be
1.
Uh-huh.
Because of that last number of 1,000.
Oh, it gets an extra
It gets an extra 1. And so all the other digits each appear exactly 300 times.
Wow.
Except for 1, which appears 301 times.
I want to hear if there's any listener that sat down and like wrote all of the numbers down to count up the digits.
Absolutely.
Let me know if you did that. I'm impressed. It's Jay Staton, JSTAYTON at KUT.org. If you did that, email me, let me know. I definitely want to hear about it. I definitely want to
and
hear
then
about it.
Report that person to the authorities. No, we will not do that.
So Ed, just as we wrap up our discussion about giving here, I know it's an area that sort of it straddles home life, it straddles sort of our social life, our relationships, it creeps into education. You had mentioned a student at Southwestern who was a religion major who wants to go into actually working in philanthropy. It occurs to me that I wonder if philosophy is not also a place where some of these topics come up, where students really sort of, you know, they read kind of great works. It really gets your mind going. And you sort of think about that question of who am I? What kind of person do I want to be? What is my role in the world? Sort of the why am I here?
Absolutely. But I would also argue that, I mean, the liberal arts do that across the board, and especially at Southwestern, the way our curriculum is designed. So you could be a communication studies major, you could be an anthropology major, a sociology major, a history, political science, biology, or chemistry. These questions are questions that our students do intentionally encounter and face within these different constructs of human thought, which to me bring about another level of diversity to kind of say, here's a different lens through which I can see what I believe, and does it still make sense? So philosophically, does it make sense? In terms of, like, if take a religion course, does it make sense in terms of spiritually? Does it make sense in terms of societally, in terms of what I'm learning in history or political science? Does it make sense in terms of the sensitivity of engaging with others through anthropology, sociology, or communication studies? Does it make sense in terms of who we are as beings through the natural sciences? To me, that is one of the great gifts of the liberal arts and the power of them.
Well, Ed, thank you for your gifts and helping
us. You were
us
almost
keep
speechless there.
I think I
moved you there, didn't I? There was like a little bit of a
There was a little I was a bit
verklempt,
I will say.
There was a little tear appearing on the corner there. I Thank you. And then, of course, I killed the moment by editorializing. So there's that.
Well,
it's never win with me.
It's never win.
But thank you.
Well, thank you, Ed, for helping us keep our brains sharp. Dr. Ed Berger is president of Southwestern University in Georgetown, Texas. You can find out more at southwestern.edu. And keep your brain busy by keeping up with the news and other episodes of Higher Ed at KUT.org. You can also find us on iTunes. I'm Jennifer Staton with KUT News.